There are a lot of promises in God's Word. There's no doubt about it. And I think it's fantastic that we can go through it and pick out promises. Now, not everything written in there, not every promise in there is for each one of us, but there are so many. One great thing about God and a promise, Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, God who cannot lie promised eternal life. And one thing about it, whatever He promises, since He can't lie, it's going to always come true. Think about some of the things He's promised us. He said He'll never leave you, forsake you. What should you fear? It's Hebrews 13. There's no such thing as fear in our lives because He's always with us. He said He'll provide for us. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You got everything you need. He's going to empower us. The Bible talks about Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through the one who strengthens me. The Bible says we have eternal life, the verse I quoted a while ago, Titus 1, verse 2, but John 10:28, Jesus says, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish. Nobody can pluck you out of my hand, so you've got eternal life. He promises a new body. Philippians 4:19 and 20 says where we wait, or basically 20 and 21, where He talks about we wait for the Lord who's going to come back from heaven and going to change this old body to a glorious body like His. That's a promise. He's promised us a home in heaven in John 14. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't that way, I would have told you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. I'll get it all ready and I'll come back and get you. So over and over and over, there are promise after promise after promise. But there's one that as we study this subject that we've been dealing with, it's just one which we are all thankful for. Because I'm sure every one of us in this room have been touched by, first of all, by physical death, by somebody that we know or loved that died physically. And what we had to understand was that physical death is a result of spiritual death. And after physical death, if something's not done, there is an eternal death. And so there's death throughout the Scripture. But one of the great truths is found in 1 Corinthians 15:57. You don't have to turn there, but it says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look in the context of that passage, and that's one of the things at Countryside we've always said, whenever you look at a passage, you have to see the context. What is the victory that he's talking about? What victory? Well, the victory is over death, because but not only physical death, but eternal death, because in that passage he talks about how people died and rose again, and in Adam all died, but in Christ all shall be made alive. And he talks about this old mortal body is going to put on immortality. So the flow of the passage is there's victory over physical death, as victory over death in general, because Jesus Christ conquered death. As we look this morning at the passage, we're going to realize at these different passages, we're going to look that, and remember always, Jesus Christ is the key. The key to a victory over death. There are all kinds of death in the Scripture. We talked about them last time. God has a provision for us. Think about this. Who is the life giver? Who is it? God, Jesus Christ is the life giver. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5, it says, in Him is life. He is the light of men. He is the life giver. In John 11:25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 14:6, He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who conquers death. So we got a life giver and a Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me give you the outline for the study just to remind you what we've looked at. There. We started with just the idea of death is, it's kind of fear, and death was, we don't know exactly. We know from the Word of God, but we don't know from experience what happens. But we have victory in Christ. We define death. We talked about that death was separation from God, whether it's a physical death or a spiritual death or an eternal death. It's all separation. We talked about how death came through Adam. One man, Romans 5:12, is through one man sin in the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all for all sinned. And we realized that. Then as we continued in our study last time, we began to look at the different kinds of death, spiritual death, physical death, eternal death, and temporal death. And we talked about spiritual death as we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. We talked about physical death, which is when we die and our body is separated from our soul and spirit. We talked about eternal death, which is if something is not done, when a person comes in this world, they're spiritually dead. And if something's not done, if they do not trust Christ or something, they will die physically, and then there will be an eternal or second death, separation from God forever. We then talked about even temporal death, which is a death that a believer can have, and we'll talk about that a little bit more this morning as we get started. As we look into this passage, our study this morning, go right back just a little bit. We want to talk about God's provision, which death is conquered, and that's where we are. Spiritually, there's spiritual death, physical death, eternal and temporal. He's conquered them all, and that's what we're looking at. And then finally, we'll quickly look at life after death. It's going to take maybe a couple of weeks, because I had a couple of people come up even last week and said, I'm looking forward to that part because I don't, you know, I've heard things, but I don't really know where do people go when they die. What about a believer? What about an unbeliever? What happens to people? We'll talk about that, life after death, believers and unbelievers, and then a summary. So that's where we are. Death is separation. Last time we looked at the four different kinds of death. We said there's spiritual death, physical death, eternal death, and temporal death. Spiritual death is that we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins, and we're not able to relate or understand God. That's just the way it is. We then talked about physical death, and we said that if something's not done, and the bottom line, though, physical death is a reminder to every human being that we're dead spiritually. Part of the curse and the fall from Adam and Eve on is that when we fail, when we rebelled, not only did we die spiritually, but there is a physical death coming. And I think that's the reminder that God has for all of us, that we realize that people die. And one day He's going to conquer that totally. And we're going to talk about it this morning if we get to that far. The third kind of death we talked about was eternal death, and that's separation from God forever. It's called the lake of fire. People have always called it hell. Really, in the Bible, the word hell that we use is not really there. The word Hades is there, but that doesn't mean the eternal separation place. Hades isn't the place of the earth. We'll talk more about that when we get to where the people go when they die. But the Bible uses the second death or the lake of fire, which is what we call the eternal death. And then there's the temporal death for believers. Now, what happens? And let me remind you this. This is where we ended. And since by the grace of God, Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, paid for sins, and when we trust in Him, we're spiritually alive, and He's conquered death and all of this. But what is this temporal death for each one of us that know Christ as Savior? Because you can die as a believer. What is it talking about? Well, let me remind you of something. When we talk in the Bible, with God, we have a relationship with God and we have fellowship with God. And they're two different things. You have a relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 5:12, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're brought back into fellowship with Him. We're brought back into a relationship with Him. The Bible uses the term reconciliation. Your relationship with God is forever. You can never not be a child of God. You've been born again, you're a child of God, and that'll never change. You can never die in your relationship with God. You were dead, but now you're alive. But there's a second thing, which is called fellowship. Fellowship is day in and day out as we go through life. We're supposed to be in union and fellowship and harmony with Him. But when we get sin in our lives, we get out of fellowship. And the Bible uses the idea that when we sin as a believer, we die. We die in our fellowship. We can't ever die in our relationship. But now we can die in our fellowship. And when that happens, that's what we call temporal death. Look at Romans just for a second. Look at Romans chapter 8. Just flip over there quickly. And as we go through all this, I know the class is big in that sense, but if you have questions, comments, input, anything, you don't hesitate just to raise your hand and we will stop and talk about whatever you want to talk about. Romans chapter 8. I want you to look at verse 6 and then something else, because it's going to show us He's talking to believers in Romans 8. In fact, look at Romans 8:1. Look how He starts the chapter. I love this passage. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ Jesus? Through faith. You put your faith in Christ, you're saved. Any man be in Christ. He's a new creation. There we are. We're set apart in Christ. He says there's no condemnation. But look at verse 6. For the mind set on the flesh. Now we're talking about, here's a believer and we're living in the flesh. You remember we got that pull to do wrong inside of us? He says, for the mind set on the flesh is what? Death. But notice what he goes on to say. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. He's saying if you live by the flesh, there's death. If you live by the Spirit, there's life and peace. Look down at verse 12. He says, so then, brethren, we are under obligation. Talking about believers. Notice how he said it. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. See, don't live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, you must what? Die. Now, we're not talking about physical death necessarily in that passage. Now, you can die physically because of your sin. It's called the sin unto death, 1 John chapter 4. But we're not talking about that there. He says, if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. He says, if you live by the flesh, you're going to die. We call that temporal death. Now, the problem with us is as we go through life, there are many times we obey the flesh, we listen to the flesh, we follow the lust of the flesh, and what happens to us when we do that? We sin and we die. Now, It's not the spiritual death that the Bible talks about because we've been made alive spiritually. It's not the physical death that it's talking about because that hadn't happened. It's not the eternal death that it talks about because we could never going to be separated from God. This is what we call a temporal death. So every one of us in this room, every time you sin, every time you disobey God, every time you follow the flesh, you die right then. It's called a temporal death. Now, we're going to talk a little bit as we get into how does God solve all these problems. The bottom line is you confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you, and you are back alive again in your fellowship. So I just wanted you to see those things. So let's think about this progress or this progression. A person comes in this world and they're dead. Not physically. They're dead spiritually. And you can be the smartest person in the world intellectually, but if you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, you are spiritually dead and you cannot know the things of God. Let me tell you something. There are many unbelievers who read the Bible, can understand in a sense the Bible and what it says, but they can't comprehend and understand the spiritual truths and aspects of what the Bible says. Many times, if you turn on television and you see those shows like Mysteries of the Bible, you know, and it's always a scholar that talks, right? The scholars don't believe the Bible. They're dead. They're not even Christians. And they will say, the Bible says this, however we know. They don't know anything. And let's face it. And so you can be the most intellectual, smartest, have all the degrees in the world, and you can even read this and say, well, I know what Proverbs says, and I know what the book of Deuteronomy says, and I know the story of the life of David, but that doesn't mean you can understand the spiritual stuff of it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural person doesn't understand it. So here's a person, we all come into this world physically alive, but spiritually dead. If something does not change, we're going to come to a point in our lives, and for some people it's early, and some people it's a long time. We're going to die physically because the wages of sin is death. And not only is it spiritual death, it's physical death. And that's what God told Adam and Eve. He told them, in the day that you eat from that tree, you will what? Literally in the Hebrew, dying, you shall surely die. Dying spiritually, you will die physically. And they ate the fruit and they died spiritually that exact second. And they died physically later. If something's not done in anybody's life, they come in dead in sin, and they're going to eventually die physically as well. Now, the sad part is that if that happens, they're going to have another death, and it's called eternal death. It's called the second death. It's separation from God. We're going to talk about next week or the week after that what happens to people when they die if they're not believers. Where do they go? And we're going to talk about what's the end thing. The Bible calls it the second death, the lake of fire. They're going to be eternally dead, separated from God forever. So that's the progression. And even for us who put our faith in Christ, we can be dead temporally because of sin. So how in the world does God solve all this? Because I kept saying, unless something is done, that's what happens to every human being. Well, what has God done? In the book of Hebrews, God has a plan to save us from spiritual death, physical death, eternal death, and even temporal death, and it's through His Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says this, since human beings are made out of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise took the same, that's Jesus Christ becoming a person, that through death, through His death, He might render powerless Him who had the power over death, that is the devil. Jesus Christ, by His death and resurrection for us, has conquered and given victory over all the kinds of death that there are. That's a great truth. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ died. They died and paid for the penalty of sin, and He brings life. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, it says, death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? The answer is, there's not one. Now, we see it. We see people die. But every funeral that I've ever done, I can say by the word of the Lord that death is not the end for any human being, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever, because Jesus Christ has conquered death. He conquered physical death, conquered spiritual death. He conquered eternal death. He even conquers temporal death, conquered them all. That's why we can say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's think about it. How did he give us the victory? Let's start with the first one. And if you have questions, comments, you stop me as we go through this. First one, spiritual death. How did he deal with spiritual death? Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at Ephesians 2, and I want you to see a verse that's powerful. And Freddie, if we got that handout, the one that we use where it shows the two different kind of people, we might put that up in just a second. I'll let you know. Ephesians chapter 2. If you've been in church already today, the passage we talk about in Titus talks about what we were like. Well, so does the Ephesians 2 passage. It tells us what we were like. Notice what he says, chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you walked formerly according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Verse 3 says, we lived also in the lust of our flesh, and we were indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by children of wrath destined for that. Wow. We were dead. Spiritually dead. Freddie, show that up that we did the last couple of weeks. We talked about the parts of a person, an unbeliever. For an unbeliever, they have a body that holds it all together. They have a soul which relates to the world around them. The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh. The New Testament Greek word is psuche. We get psyche from it. It has the part of you that relates to the world and to people and all that. We also have a conscience. Ever since the fall, God told Adam and Eve in the day they ate from the fruit, they would know. It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They would know right from wrong. People know right from wrong. In fact, the Bible says written in on our hearts, whether you're a believer or not, written in on our hearts is God's word. There's a right and wrong system in every human being. And then there's the flesh. There's that natural bent to do wrong. That's why it says in Ephesians 2, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were spiritually dead. We are not spiritually alive as an unbeliever. So how is God going to solve spiritual death? Well, just keep that up for a second. And if you would look down at verse 5 of Ephesians 2, he says, but even when we were dead in our sins, spiritually dead, he made us alive together with Christ. How? By grace we've been saved. He raised us up with him, seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look down in verse 8. How did all this happen? Well, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God. It's not a worth lest anyone should boast. God has made us alive. How did he deal with spiritual death? When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, he made you spiritually alive. And that's why it says as a believer, you got a body, still got the body, still got the soul, the psuche, the psyche as we might call it, the part that relates to the world, still got the right for wrong conscience, still got the natural bent to sin. But look what we have. We're now spiritually alive. We list it as human spirit. That's how we put it. Bible doesn't really say human spirit. It says you've been made spiritually alive. We say that must be our human spirit. Because when Adam and Eve died, how did they die that day? They died spiritually. Okay? And then we also, by the grace of God, in our what we might call dispensation, the time of the church, we also get the Holy Spirit who comes to live inside of us. So we were dead in our trespasses and sins. He has made us alive together with Christ, raised us up, seated us in the heavenly places. Where are you positionally right now? You're in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Do you realize that? That's where you are positionally. Positionally, you are seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. He says, he has saved you, raised you up, and seated you together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's where you are. Positionally, that's where you are. Experientially, you are on this earth, going through this life, seeking to live for Christ. You were dead. There is no spiritual life on the unbeliever side. You are spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. Now, how did he do that? He did it by grace through faith. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're alive. You were dead. You're alive. And what's an amazing thing about it is the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And also, for the first time in your life, you can actually understand things about God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man is in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. New things have come. 1 Corinthians 2 says, who can know the things of God unless the Spirit of God be in him? Who can know the things of man unless the Spirit of man be in him? God gives us victory over spiritual death through Jesus Christ when you believe in Him. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, and I know most all of you, that you have already put your faith in Christ. And so, in a sense, you came into this world dead in sin, spiritually dead, couldn't understand the things of God. You had a body. You had a soul that related to everything around you. You have a conscience. You have a flesh. You had all, and then you put your faith in Christ, and now you're spiritually alive. The way that Jesus Christ, or the way that God has conquered spiritual death for us, is Jesus Christ dying in our place, paying for our sins, and when we trust Him, He makes us alive. It is called regeneration, and in the book of Titus, what we're studying on Sunday morning, in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, says that God saved us not the basis of our works, but according to His mercy, through the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that, just touch on it this morning, but we're going to go into much more details about regeneration next week on Sunday morning. This is what happened. He made you alive. Questions, comments, anything before we move to the second kind of death? Yeah. Yes, you're talking about where it'll say those who have fallen asleep in Christ? Yeah, sometimes there's a Greek word to mean to sleep. Almost many, many times it is used to describe a believer who has died physically. Not used to describe an unbeliever, but it's used to describe a believer. And it's given that idea of the peacefulness of the fact that the body's in the ground, but we know from the Scripture that the soul and spirit of the believer is with the Lord. There is a teaching that when you die, it's like you go to sleep and you're in the ground and you don't know anything, and then one day it'll be changed. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So there's no such thing as soul sleep that some people teach. The Greek just uses that word to mean the body's asleep, is resting. He's talking more about the body than it is about the soul and spirit. That's a great question. What else? Anything else about spiritual death? Okay, let's talk about how He conquered physical death. Okay, the end result of spiritual death, of course, is physical death. In fact, physical death is the end result of all human beings, except for just a couple of people that we have recorded in the Scripture that didn't die physically. Who are they? Elijah and Enoch. Okay, that's the only two people that we can find in the Bible that didn't die physically. And there's going to be an entire generation of believers who will not die physically. Because when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds, what's going to happen? We're going to be changed. Wow, dead in Christ rise first. We who are alive and remain will be changed and caught up together. So there's going to be a whole group of believers, a whole group of us, who will never see physical death. Now, all the groups throughout all history from Paul on have believed that it's their group, that it's their time. You know, He's going to come any second, and He could come any second. There aren't any signs, so don't get mixed up. He could come any second, and we all would like to think maybe we're the generation that we won't ever die physically. We'll just be changed. But there is physical death. You know, as a pastor, the fun things I get to do are weddings and go to the hospital when somebody's having a baby and all that. But the bad things, the sad things, not necessarily bad, but the sad things, our funerals. And every time, it is reminding each of us that are there that there is spiritual death and a fallen human being that has resulted in a physical death. But as I said, when I stand there to do a funeral, I can say, this is not the end. Because death is conquered. Death is conquered in Jesus Christ. How does He give us the victory? Once again, it's Jesus Christ, and Jesus died and rose again and paid for sin. Think about this. The whole book of 1 Corinthians, the whole chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians tells us how Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again and conquered death. In Adam all die. In Christ all will be made alive. I remember thinking right after I trusted Christ that Christians are going to live forever. Is that right? Is that right? Will all people live forever? I didn't think that. See, I had this idea that Christians are the ones that live forever, and then maybe unbelievers and non-Christians, they don't live forever. Let me tell you, I said it wrong all ago. All people do what? Live forever. Christians have eternal life, and there's a difference. Every human being is going to live forever, whether they're a Christian or not. But Christians don't just live forever. We have eternal life. Because non-believers live forever, but they have what's called the second death. It's a totally different thing. And so how did He deal with this physical thing? In Philippians, if you're in Ephesians, I don't know, you still may be in Ephesians, but if you turn to Philippians chapter 3, I want you to see something. God's going to change us. going to change these bodies. He's going to have victory. I think one of the most amazing things is one of these days, when he comes in the clouds, every person who has ever trusted in Christ as Savior, their bodies are going to come up out of the ground just like that. And that's the most incredible thing. So all these graveyards, this is like going to be explosions coming up out of the ground. That's what it's going to be. When Jesus comes in the clouds, can you imagine what that's going to be like? Now, we've talked all about this rapture thing, and on Wednesday nights we've been talking about Israel, and we talk about what's going to happen in the future, and the Antichrist, and the peace pact made with Israel, and all that kind of thing. And we know that one of these days the church is going to be taken out. What will it be like in this country when all of the Christians are gone? The most amazing thing. I mean, we have more Christians in the United States than any other place in the world, at least per percentage of people. What's going to happen the day that we're all taken out at one time? What's going to happen when those unbelievers look around and nobody comes to this church on a Sunday morning? Not a soul is here. Lights aren't even turned on. Nothing. And that they look in the graveyards, all these graves are like there's been some kind of explosion and they're all torn to pieces. Well, that's what I mean. It's going to be just everything torn to pieces. There's all the Christians, all you guys will be driving and just go, whoops. Your car will just keep on going or slow down and really hits everything. Trains, planes. You're saying, what happens if we think a loved one that we have in our family, that the best that we know, that they did not trust Christ and they died? How do we deal with that? Well, I think that's one of the hardest things we can deal with, because we know from the Scripture that they're separated from God forever. In that passage where Jesus makes that, she's talking about the passage where all these people are coming up to Jesus and they're saying, I'll follow you anywhere, I'll follow you anywhere. And he knows their hearts. And one guy comes up and says, I'll follow you, but first let me go back. What he really says is, go back and let me bury my father. And the way that's written in the Greek and the culture is, it didn't mean his father was dead yet. What he was saying is, let me go wait till my father is dead, then I'll come follow you. And that's when he said, let the dead bury the dead. And what he means there, believers follow me now. You don't wait. Let the unbelievers deal with the unbelievers. That's all he was saying there. I think the saddest thing for all of us is that if we know there's somebody in our families, our loved ones, somebody we care about, that do not trust Christ. We can't make them. We tell them. We pray. We hope they will come to know the Lord. But if they don't, then all we can deal with is say, God, in your sovereignty, I mean, we just have to trust you and we have to know your word. And maybe we didn't know. Maybe sometime without them ever telling us, they may have trusted you. I just don't know. I led my mother and grandmother to Christ after I became a Christian when I was 19, but I never really got to talk to my daddy. And my daddy died when I was 26. So if you say to me right now, do you believe your daddy's in heaven? You know, I don't know, but let me tell you what. At the funeral, a man came up to me. I didn't know him, but he knew my daddy. And he said, James, that's what they call me there. James, I just want you to know, your daddy made his peace with God. Now, I don't know what that meant. I think what that meant was that this man believes my daddy put his faith in Jesus. I wouldn't use the term made his peace with God, but because God makes peace with us, not us with him. But that's an old way of saying the person became a Christian. So I'm hoping and praying, and I'm thinking, oh, I hope my daddy believed in Jesus as his Savior. But I don't know for sure. Yeah, I have a fantastic sister who lives in California, who's an anthropologist, got a PhD from Tulane, archaeologist and anthropologist, but she's not a believer. And she named her son Darwin Charles, after Charles Darwin. And I've talked to her a lot of times, And if you said to me, do you think if she were to die right now, would she go to heaven? In the sad words, I would say, I don't know. Not unless she believed in Jesus and I don't know about it. So I don't know. How we deal with that is we say, I'll do everything I can. Yeah. Do what? Well, when the Bible talks about judge not that you be judged, it's talking about lifestyle actions, and the reality is we don't judge, the Word of God judges. So I don't think that passage is talking about that. You can't, none of us can know if a person has eternal life except by what they tell us. You can't look at lifestyle, because a person can be a believer and live a bad life. Happens all the time. I mean, you look at the Corinthians. But if a person tells you, yes, I have put my faith in Christ, whether they live good or not, if they put their faith in Christ, I'd say that person's a Christian. So you can't really go by lifestyle. And what the hope, when we have a loved one who appeared to not be a believer, our hope is maybe sometime in their life that we didn't know about, that they believed in Jesus as Savior. That's what I hope. Yeah. Does that help any? I mean, that's about all we can do. Because the Bible is very clear. It is appointed to man to die once, after that judgment. There is no second chance, so to speak, after you die physically. That's it. That's the bell, isn't it? That's the second bell? Oh, boy. Okay. All right, we're on the physical death. We haven't really conquered it yet, but we're going to get it because he died and rose again, and he's conquered it, and we'll see it more next week. Any final questions or comments before we close in prayer? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks so much. Thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ indeed is the one who gives us victory over death, over physical death, over eternal death, over spiritual death, even over temporal death. We thank you, Lord, for the victory. We give thanks to you through our victory, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to put these things together, and Lord, help us realize that it is serious, that we have opportunities to tell people about Christ, because we do not want people to be eternally separated from you. Lord, use us to tell others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.